All right, on this episode of Bouts Talkin' Bouts, excited to be talking to an individual who competes at BKB 34, which goes down on September the 16th, in a very intriguing fight with Johnny Lawson stepping into the ring against John Collier, and great getting to have John on the show. How's your day going there, man?
Not so bad, mate. How are you?
I'm doing well. I imagine you're feeling pretty good, though, just readying for the third go-around in bare knuckle. Looks like it's been a bit over a year into your bare knuckle boxing run here come fight time. I guess in saying that, like, how do you characterize the, you know, initial run here, like the first year as a, you know, bare knuckle boxer at all?
I've enjoyed it so far. I wish I'd have found bare knuckle a little bit sooner, to be honest. I've always boxed. I've boxed most of my life, so when a friend of mine got into bare knuckle, I kind of followed suit, and that was that, really. But I've enjoyed it. I retired shortly after my last one, but I retired on emotion rather than logic, you know what I mean? I didn't really think about it, but I've been in the gym, and I've still got something to give, so I'm going again.
Yeah, and I thought it was interesting, because you had a post there where you were saying, don't be fooled by the silence, the lack of posting, and lack of training footage, and just kind of talking about how it's not the same as last time, and you're not feeling the same or thinking the same. Can you kind of expound upon that a bit more? Like, what do you think is the reason for why this situation is different than last time, I guess?
The circumstances in my life have changed somewhat since my last fight. I'm in a much more positive place. I'm in a better place physically, mentally, everything. So I just feel a little bit different heading into this fight. With my last fight, I did my first one on September the 3rd, I think it was, and I was due to box again on December the 3rd, so I didn't get much of a rest. I think I only had about 10 days off, and then I went straight back into another full training camp, so I hadn't rested. I was tired as I went into the fight, whereas this one, obviously, I've had a good few months rest. Like I said, my life's changed for the better in various ways, so I feel absolutely fantastic to get back in the gym, get back in the ring, and get back into it.
Yeah, for sure, and a lot to talk about with the next fight, but I feel like I'd be remiss if I didn't touch on the last one, and it seems like you kind of did in like a bit of a cursory way there. I mean, fighting a guy like Aaron McCallum and going the distance there at BKB 29, like, what were your main takeaways from that fight there in December?
I learned a lot in that fight, particularly about bare knuckle, because in my first fight with Luca, respectfully to Luca, he didn't really pose any problems. He wasn't willing to commit with his punches. He wasn't willing to step in. I had to really force the fight. And I just edged out the points with him behind the jab. But with Aaron brought much more of an aggressive style. So that taught me a lot more about bare knuckle. And he's given me a lot of takeaways from it to work on in the gym, to something more to expect, more prepared for what to expect this time around.
Yeah, and I mean, fair enough. He seems to be one of the more, like, pressure-heavy guys on the circuit, but also one of the more experienced guys, just with him readying for his second crack at BKB British Gold. So I would think, like, even those factors considered, you could probably, like, glean a couple things from that last performance, I would think.
Yeah, absolutely. You've got to get in there with the guys who are more experienced than yourself, be it in the gym, be it sparring, anything. You know, nobody knows everything about boxing, so anything you can learn from anyone is always a bonus.
Yeah, and it just seems like a stacked division you're in now. Like, I kind of mentioned the McCallum versus Tiffin fight that's, you know, coming up on this card as well, but just seems like an active time in the, you know, weight category and stuff like that. I would think that would, you know, stoke the competitive fires even more, just realizing you have, like, these different quality guys to, you know, test yourself against and all.
Absolutely, yeah. Like, the 73 to 79 division is just, it's just stacked. You've got, like you say, you've got Mike Tiffin, Aaron McCallum, you've got Scott McHugh, Johnny Lawson, James Kennelly, Barry Jones, Jimmy Sweeney, you know, that seven or eight fighters just off the top of my head without scrolling through the rankings and everything. So it is a stacked division full of really good fighters, but like you say, it kicks you up the arse to train a little bit harder and edge out the win and do what you need to do in the gym and out of the gym as well, mentally prepared and stuff like that. But yeah, there's a lot going on in my division at the minute, so I know I'm in. If I'm to stay in BKB, I know I'm in for a lot of hard work, a lot of hard fights.
Yeah, I mean, well said. I feel like you fit well within that division, though, and I feel like, I mean, obviously you have great physical tools, but I feel like one of the standout traits is just, like, the fight IQ, and that seems to be informed at least to a degree by some of the efforts you've engaged in with coaching, just being in Dan McGraffin's corner before you endeavored to, you know, step into the ring yourself. So, like, I guess how much of, like, a variable is your fight IQ? Like, it seems to be, like, a very standout part of your game, as much as, like I said, you have the defined physical traits also.
Yeah, I mean, boxing's like 90% in the brain, you know what I mean? Boxing or burnuckle, whatever you want to boil it down to and categorize it as, it's all in the mind. It's very thought process. It's just how quick you can think. Do you know what I mean? But I've boxed, sparred, been around some great fighters in my time in boxing. Ricky Hatton, Denton Vassell. You know, I've met loads of really good fighters. And even if you just sat in the gym, just being a bit of a gym rat and just watching on from the sidelines, you're still learning, you're still developing. So if anything you can take away from anyone who's much more experienced than you is good. It's you're learning every single day in fight sports. Every single day is a school day, so to speak.
Yeah, it just feels like you're relishing like bringing in more of like a refined kind of like boxing focus into the BKB framework. Like I saw a post where you were kind of likening to, I mean, this was more earlier when you kind of began, but just seeing a lot of brawlers more so kind of across the field, and just, I guess, wanting to articulate the, you know, defensive measures one could use in BKB. Like, is that a part of the game that really engages you, just kind of like, you know, cracking this code a little bit and then kind of having that info out there for other, like, up-and-coming fighters too?
Yeah, I think it works both ways, to be honest. I think first time round with BKB, I tried to be a little bit too clever, tried to be a little bit too smart, tried to use my boxing a little bit too much. Whereas sometimes you just kind of got to hold your feet and have a bit of a scrap. Do you know what I mean? It's not pure boxing. It's not sweet science and it's sweetest form. It's, you know, it is more of a brawl, really. And I didn't really take that into account. I just figured, well, I'm an experienced boxer and I can take that with me into the bare knuckle ring. But it's just a little bit different. Like you say, you mentioned about my comments on defence. You've not got the same amount of defence in bare knuckle because you've not got the gloves to cover your face. You've not got little things like that. So you've got to. I've tried to adapt my style a little bit more in the gym recently, particularly with fighting Johnny Lawson. Obviously, he's a veteran in bare knuckle. I think he's had 15 or 16 fights now. So Johnny Lawson's record doesn't really speak of how good and how tough he is. It genuinely is a hard fight. So I've got to take out everything that I know, defence, offence, footwork, everything. I've got to use everything that I've got in my arsenal to take it into the BKB ring with me and hopefully come away victorious against Johnny.
Yeah, and you articulated it perfectly there, because that's kind of, I think the whole thing with Johnny Lawson is like, if you're maybe like someone who's like new to the circuit and you're just like eyeballing the record without the context, like not the cleanest record necessarily, but a wild resume if you, I guess, care to, you know, dig deeper into it, just fighting guys like, I mean, you can really go on, like Tony Lafferty, Rico Franco, I mean, Connor Tierney, James Lilly, etc., etc. I mean, I could really keep going on. So, I mean, I feel like this would be a great opponent to kind of like gauge where you're at right now, because I think in the body of those different fights, he, you know, really did show good accounts of himself.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you say, he's been in with the who's who of the 70 to 80 kilogram division. So, the saying over here in England, I don't know if you know it over there in America, is the records are for DJs. Do you know what I mean?
It doesn't
matter if you've won, if you've lost. It's all experience. And it's, you know, he pushed Sonny Smith to the limit a few weeks ago on the BKB 33. Sonny had to really work for that win. So he's going to make anyone work. If you're going to beat Johnny Lawson, you've got to work and you've got to earn the win. He's not going to give it you just because, like you said, I think he's had 15, he's lost 12, something like that. But he's lost the 12 fights to the likes of Scott McHugh, Sonny Smith, like you said, Connor Tina, James Lilly. He's lost the fights to like the top level of the sport, you know, like the upper echelons of the sport. So he's not playing around. It's a hard fight, and like you said, it's a good gauge for me where I'm at. You know, I'm 38 now, so I feel like I've got something left. I absolutely feel like I've got something left. I won't be getting in there otherwise, but he's a good gauge of his further time just getting to me, or have I still got that little bit left in the tank to keep going?
And curious to hear you expand upon some of the shifts in your style a bit more, because in more of like a gloved boxing focused context, it seemed like earlier on you used to be like more front forward and I guess aggressive, kind of seeking the body shots, like working up and down, but then kind of within that, like adapted your style to be more centric on, I guess, like economy of punches and the defense. Like, what do you do to, I guess, curate your game even more specifically to bare knuckle? Like, what, like, different amendments have you, I guess, added to your bare knuckle approach that you were kind of touching on there a bit?
Well, like I just mentioned, during my glove career, I was much more of a front foot fighter. Two of my favorite fighters of all time are Ricky Hatton and Mickey Ward. So that was always the style that I adopted. The hands up, chin down, plod forward, down the jab, work your way on the inside and do your work when you're in there. But with bare knuckle, it only takes one punch and you can cut and end the fight. So you've got to be a bit more defence savvy. You can't just plod forward and hope that you catch them or something. You've got to be a little bit more defence savvy. You've got to move your head on the way and you've got to come off on the angle a little bit. You know, work the body a little bit more to take the work rate away, stuff like that. So we've just been doing all that kind of stuff in the gym, not preparing specifically for anyone, just working on stuff that we can adapt and we can use in a bare knuckle boxing ring. Basically, we've just been adapting my style a little bit to go a bit more pure boxing rather than sophisticated brawling, so to speak.
Yeah, and it seems like you're getting in some great work. Like, even just recently, I saw the pick with James Martin and, you know, Connor Courtney and everything like that. And I saw you also shouted out Reese Murray a little bit ago, getting some, you know, great rounds in with him, and he's readying for, you know, a big fight in his own right. Like, would you say some of those individuals I just rattled off there are like the primary people you've been, I guess, you know, sharpening the tools with in this particular camp here?
Yeah, Reese Murray came over a couple of weeks ago. We had a really good 10-rounder. Reese is obviously in my weight category, so we could meet somewhere down the line, I imagine, but we're all friends. It's only business. So we're all friends. It's all good. Me and Reese have shared a good few spars together, to be honest, and with I spar a lot with Scott McHugh as well, people like that. So I do get good working and experience bare knuckle fighters. So I get as much sparring as I can, which we don't do a lot of heavy sparring. We do a lot of like 40-50% power, and so you can try new stuff without there being any real consequence if it doesn't come off and stuff like that. And, you know, once every 10 days or so, we have a bit of a slugfest. But as a rule, we just go nice and light and sparring so you can try new stuff out that's hopefully going to work. And if it doesn't work, you can adapt it and change it or just dismiss it altogether, stuff like that. So, yeah, I get loads of working with all different fighters. And they're all my friends, and I think a lot of them all. And I hope we can all meet someday and find out who the best is.
It just seems like there's such a great like cross-training culture with a lot of the BKB guys. Like, I feel like in doing research, interviewing a lot of the different fighters on this circuit, it's like almost invariably I'll find these pictures of like, you know, just you champion level guys working together and honing skills. Like, as much as like, I guess the vacuum of the competition is individual and me against you, like it seems like a communal kind of vibe and like everyone sort of like uplifting each other and trying to like grow the skills collectively as well as individually almost.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, there's two sayings, isn't there? Iron sharpens iron and pressure creates diamonds. So if you put yourself under pressure with some great fighters, you've got to be the best you can possibly be to manage to live with them fighters or win the rounds or stuff like that. So you've got to take yourself out of your comfort zone and just, you know, spar with someone who might be a couple of levels above you, but it'll bring out the best in you in the long run. So you might not win every round of the spar, but you've learned a lot about yourself, you've learned a lot about the sport, stuff like that. But when I first signed with BKB, because of the nature of the image it portrays to the casual fan, I did think I was going to clash with a lot of people and like there was going to be a lot of egos and stuff involved. But everyone, genuinely everyone, is brilliant. Everyone I've met, it's much more like, you choose a great word though, communal. It's much more communal than you think. It really is a community because we've all got each other on Facebook. We'll be throwing each other messages and good luck messages and, you know, chucking each other little tips about what to do against certain fighters and stuff like that. So it's really good. I really enjoy being part of that community. They've all welcomed me with open arms. So it's great. I love it. I love them all. They're great people.
Well, it definitely comes across, and you seem like you kind of engage in like certain like community fostering kind of efforts in like different veins too. Like, it seemed like you had a bit of a recent event there. Like, I saw a post where you were saying there was like an evening of like 13 boxing matches and there was like some food and beer going on, and some Joshua versus Hellenius was being peeped. Like, what was going on there? That seemed like a fun time, a fun event.
So, as well as being a fighter myself, I'm also a coach. So I have a team of about 20 fighters who I coach. And I try and do four a year. So one every 12 weeks, I put an event on, I put a show on. So my fighters have got an opportunity to box and show what they've been learning against other gyms from the area and stuff like that. So that was one of my events last, it was the 12th, wasn't it? Yeah, the 12th of August. That was my most recent event that went on. We had an outdoor event. Really good show. The weather held off for us. We didn't get any rain. So like I said, as well as coaching, I do promote events as well. It's a way of earning money. It's a way of keeping my fighters active. Because my fighters, as much as I'm the coach, they're also my friends, you know what I mean? So I've got to honour the moral contract and the friendship contract to keep them busy, as well as the professional contract to keep them busy. Do you know what I mean? So it's all good. Everything's good at the minute. Gym's super busy. Training's going really well. It's all good. It's all good in the hood.
Yeah, well, I love to hear that. And like you said, I mean, it seems like it serves like a few different masters there. But I guess one thing I kind of wanted to touch on here, talking about a lot of, you know, quality fight related stuff here, but I was seeing a bit of an interview there. You were on the, you know, BKB Wraps Are Off podcast there, I believe it was, and you were talking about your singer-songwriter efforts and your love for Oasis. Like, how long have you been doing that for? Like, what kind of, is there a certain, like, genre lane you're generally in as a singer-songwriter? Or I guess I'm curious to hear more details on that.
It's just a hobby, really. I played guitar since I was about 8-9 years old, so I've always had a guitar in the house. I've always done a bit of singing and just get asked to do gigs every now and again. So I'll just go out and sing a few songs for the people. And I can't have a booze up at the minute, obviously, because I'm in camp, but we used to have a bit of a booze up afterwards, go and get some food, stuff like that. So it's just always been a hobby. I've always been into music. It's just always been my life, music. Before boxing, music was there, and it'll be there long after boxing. So it's just something that I do too. Because with boxing used to be my hobby, then boxing became my job. So I had to, you know, elaborate on my other hobbies to not, you know, if your hobby can't become your job, you know, a mechanic doesn't go to work and fix cars in his spare time. You know, he has other things to do. So boxing was my hobby. Then it became my job. So I had to expand a little bit more on my hobbies to keep myself mentally engaged with everything. So it's just a hobby, really.
No, that's cool, though. I've played guitar for a bit, too, so partly thought to ask with that. But, I mean, kind of reminds me a little of my own situation, too, because, like, combat sports used to be just, like, the big, like, hobby slash, like, passion that I would just, you know, watch on the weekends or whenever a card would pop up. But then kind of immersing yourself in doing it full time, it's like, yeah, you do need that little hobby, like, bit of downtime, something to kind of, you know, get out of it a bit. Like, even though it's like a, you know, very passion minded kind of thing, it's like you do need other things to, I guess, allocate your focus to now and again.
Absolutely. You can't be thinking about work all the time. You've got to have some sort of outlet, and I think it's good for everyone to have a creative outlet anyway, whether you're a singer, a songwriter, a guitar player, a drummer, an artist, you know, whatever. I think it's good for everyone. I think it's good for the mind to have a creative outlet, so you've got a way to express yourself in a productive way, do you know what I mean? In like a formative way. Because you can't just, it's not just, it's the nature of combat sports as well, that they're hard on the body. It's physically hard, so you get sore hands and you get sore knees from running. So it's just good to have that relaxation time where you can just sit and just do nothing. You can have a week off training, you can play guitar. And yeah, it's just good to have a break. It's good to have a break from work as well. You just let you go on holiday. You know, you need a break.
Yeah, well said, man, for sure. And I guess, like, a couple more things I wanted to touch on here, because in that, you know, Wraps Are Off conversation that I was referencing, you were also mentioning the desire to, you know, win a BKB belt, and not overlooking this next fight, obviously, but we talked about, like, some of the guys he's been in there with, and you last fought McCallum, who's readying to fight for a title on this upcoming card, actually. So, I mean, do you think about that much, like, in terms of, like, the proximity of where you might be in relation to actualizing that goal into reality of winning that BKB belt? Or is it just one fight at a time and just myopic focus? You're not really thinking about the belt in a certain sense.
When I first signed with BKB about 12 months ago, my ambition was to become a former champion ever, British or world champion. But I kind of got carried away with myself a little bit. I was looking past what I was doing. I was just thinking about the end goal now. It's just one step at a time. I'm not looking past Johnny Lawson, because you can't look past Johnny Lawson.
No.
Because, like I said about his record, it doesn't matter. He's a good fighter. You know what I mean? I've lost as many fights as I've won, but I'm not a bad fighter. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't make me bad. I can still box and still fight. But with this stage of my career now, especially with my age as well, it's just one step at a time. I'll just do this training camp, have this fight, have a rest, and see how I feel. See what Jim and Joe from BKB come up with for the next one. But just one fight at a time. It's got 3 weeks to go until the next one. I'll have a rest, and then I'll think where I'm going from there. Just one fight at a time.
Yeah, for sure. And curious to get your thoughts on this, because certain fighters I talk to, they very much ensconce themselves in the whole visualization thing, like thinking about just where the fight could go, and sometimes in that they have like a, I guess, predominant visualization for how the fight will, you know, kind of wrap up, like what the ending, what the finish will be, when it happens, etc. Are you one of those fighters that's inclined to kind of do that, and if so, is there like a predominant visualization you have for how this Lawson fight will end?
I mean, you have to have a visualization as you're going into a fight, because you can't just go in there and wing it, so to speak. You've got to have a game plan. You've got to have some sort of structure to your training camp, some sort of structure to the way you're going to fight the fight. But I don't like to give predictions. I'm working on loads of new stuff in the gym. You know, you can't teach an old dog new tricks, but you can remind him of all the ones he used to know. So I'm working on bits and pieces in the gym, bringing myself back to life a little bit with regards to fighting. And we're just going to go in there and execute the plan and hopefully come away with the win. That's the end goal, just win, just a round at a time, 30 seconds at a time.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it, for sure, man. And you've been really good with your time. It's been fun getting to, you know, have you on finally and get some, you know, good insights from you ahead of a quality fight here. But just being mindful of the rest of your schedule too, John, is there like a final parting thought you might want to add as we're kind of wrapping things up here, man?
I just want to thank you for having me on the podcast. I really appreciate it. Thank everyone who's bought a ticket so far. Thank all my sponsors. And we'll just see where we head after September the 16th. I'll take a bit of a break and see where I go from there. But other than thank you to everyone who's involved so far in my career, from the beginning right up to where I am now, I appreciate everyone's help. Appreciate all the support and the exposure people are giving me. And it's all good. It's all good. All happy.
Well, that's great to hear for sure. And going to be a great fight coming up, like I said, but can't hurt to reiterate. I mean, yourself and Johnny Lawson, definitely very talented fighters. So cool to see you both in the ring there at BKB 34. So definitely excited for when that goes down on September 16th. But until then, you have a good rest of your day, John. And just to reiterate, thank you for the time, man.
Thank you very much, Dylan. I appreciate it. Thank you.